you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there. Welcome to The Good Place, the podcast.
Janet, what's a podcast?
A podcast is a thing humans invented to procrastinate from doing important things, like actual work or spending time with their families.
Neat. Enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to The Good Place, the podcast. I'm Mark Evan Jackson. I play Sean. Today we're talking about Chapter 37, Season 3, Episode 10, The Book of Dougs, written by Kate Gersten, directed by Ken Whittingham, including guest cast Paul Scheer, Dana Powell, Phil Augusta Jackson, Takato Yanomoto, Tatiana Carr, Denise Sanchez, and Mike O'Malley. After the group arrives in The Good Place, Michael evades a cheerful mailwoman, Gwendolyn, and pitches his bad place points tampering theory to the Good Place committee. The committee, however, insists on investigating via a lengthy, strict, rule-adhering process filled with red tape. Chidi and Eleanor go on their first date. Tahani attempts to mediate a relationship discussion between Jason and Janet, but it goes awry. She ends up inspiring Michael to form a new points theory, though. He scraps his Good Place committee plan and calls the judge to meet her in the IHOP. My guests today are associate producer Matt Quezada, Nicole Byer, who plays Gwendolyn, and William Jackson Harper, who plays Chidi. Will, Nicole, and Matt, welcome. Everything is good. Welcome, you guys.
Hi!
Hello.
Thank you.
I've missed you guys. I've missed this thing. We've been gone. We had a hiatus. I hate it.
Hated hiatus.
Yeah. I hate a hiatus.
What did you do during your hiatus?
Well, there were these holidays and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There was, you know, I feel like there were...
Which ones were they?
Yeah. There were religious things.
St. Patrick's Day?
Of course, yes. Yes.
Boxing Day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ann Arbor Day.
I did so much boxing.
Yeah, Ann Arbor's a city.
Mm-hmm. Ann Arbor Day?
This is where we find out I'm very stupid.
And that becomes the sole focus of the next hour of podcast listening. But I think that we should, skip Christmas. When there's something important going on, like The Good Place, let's move Christmas and New Year's and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and everything. Like, we can do that in June.
Thank you for including Kwanzaa.
Of course, yeah.
I feel like Kwanzaa is never included.
Oh, well, when it's time to move it.
That's the first to go. Matt, realizing that this could be an entire podcast series.
Oh, well, thank you.
What is your job?
Great question. My job is a lot of little jobs. Mm-hmm. My slice, I guess, of the producing pie is primarily dealing with cast schedules.
Okay.
Our main cast and guest cast. Mm-hmm. Everyone we have on is so extremely talented. They have a million jobs. Mm-hmm. So if they're on another show that week, maybe they're shooting a guest role or a commercial or a voiceover, I am working with them and their agents to make sure that we can fit them into our shooting schedule and talking with the ADs and just so, yeah, that's a part of my job. And also dealing with the publicity.
Else.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So if, say, Entertainment Tonight wants to stop by and shoot some B-roll footage and also interview the cast, I will have to say it's so hard with the show because of the spoilers.
Because of the secrets, yeah.
Because of the secrets, there are very few days that they can come by set. Mike is very protective, as he should be. But it's like, okay, Ted and Kristen are in a bar. And you don't really see anything magical, and you don't get to see the whole cast together. That's the only day you can come visit. Yes or no?
Yeah.
And it's like they're maybe less than thrilled, but...
They come though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then I get to make sure that Will or anyone else in the cast really don't spoil anything because it's so hard to be interviewed about this show.
Are you singling out Will because he's here or yes. because he's particularly bad at it?
No.
He's like, I mean, I can get worse.
You know? No, stay where you are. Yeah, so cast and publicity are kind of the primary domains of what I do.
Where did you start in this career? Did you start as Morgan's assistant, or how were you introduced to this world?
I was introduced to this world via feature films.
Okay.
I came from working and assisting directors on feature films.
Interesting.
And I got a call from Morgan Sackett to work with him on Popstar, the movie.
Oh, sure.
Which you're in.
I'm in the deleted scenes.
Oh, okay.
None taken.
Dude, you know, a lot of people are in those movies. Anyway, so he was looking for an assistant who had feature film experience.
Mm-hmm.
That was me. I realized that I had only been assisting directors and didn't quite know how the money and scheduling aspects of this process sort of worked and how much they inform a lot of the decisions that are made.
I'm sure, yeah.
So I sort of took this on as an opportunity to do that. And much like you were talking about, Mike Schur and the writers, once they find people they like, they sort of keep bringing them back.
Mm-hmm.
I was continually asked back to work with Morgan on Veep and then was brought onto this show and have been happily here ever since.
Amazing.
And just sort of working my way up, yeah.
And where are you from?
I am from Southern California.
Okay.
Rare native.
Yeah, a rare
yeah.
native.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I first met you, I don't know if you were an associate producer at the time, so you were the person whose phone number we were given if, like, we went to get on the lot and they didn't have our parking pass kind
yeah.
of thing. I still call you.
Yeah.
Even though I'm certain there are far more junior people whose job that is now. And
yeah.
where do you get... why are you always so cheery about it?
Oh, because... Ultimately, I think, like myself and my bosses, I'm a control freak.
Oh.
So, like, no, like, if I can personally assure that you are on the lot
yeah.
and where you need to be when you need to be, that I'm fine with that. I'm
okay.
happy versus having any kind of doubt.
Being in the dark about it is
correct.
Less assuring.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Will, I mentioned that you've been doing lots and lots. Shortly after we wrapped, I think you were away on a movie in Hungary for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you're able to talk about it, but if so, please do.
Yeah, I can. It's a movie called Midsommar, and it's written and directed by Ari Aster, who did Hereditary. So
oh,
it's
wow.
a weird
is
sort
it a,
of
is it a horror movie?
Yes.
Does anyone walk on the ceiling?
I will not give that up.
Oh,
but but it is like a very strange, interesting script.
And have you just been workshopping your second play?
I wrote like this one play like a while back. But
okay.
I've been doing workshops of other plays in New York just to, you know, stay busy, stay fresh.
That's
you
great.
Know. So, yeah.
Nicole, friends of mine at brunch the other day, we were talking about Jason Mantzoukas, and they did not know that you were going to appear on The Good Place because you have yet to appear on The Good Place
mm-hmm.
in the public realm. But they were like...
And I didn't post about it. I've been trying to keep it a secret.
Okay.
That's right.
Wait, are you as bad as Will? Because Will, it's come to my attention, is terrible.
I am bad at things, but I was like, okay, don't tell anyone. But also, I don't tell anyone things because I'm like, I might get cut out.
Oh, for sure. I'm the same way. You're daring the universe
mm-hmm.
to cut you out, right?
Yep.
For sure. But my friends were like, oh, Jason Mantzoukas, our tiny daughter, I think she's 6, really loves him because he's so funny on a show called Nailed It. And they love him as a guest judge. And I was unfamiliar and I looked it up. Talk about Nailed It and where people can find it.
Nailed It is on Netflix. I host a baking competition show where 3 people who don't know how to bake compete to serve me the worst things I've ever eaten. And I've gotten smart. Now I have a spit bucket.
Is that true?
Yes. And I
because it really is bad.
Yes. Which is wild because it's all box mix. So it doesn't make sense.
How can you ruin
to
that?
How these people mess it up so much. But honestly, everyone is trying their hardest. Everyone is so sweet, so nice. And the episode you're talking about with Jason is the New Year's Eve episode where Jason took it upon himself to just count down to New Year's whenever he wanted. It was off the rails almost immediately.
That sounds about right.
And if like I watched it twice because because there was one camera op, Rob, who was laughing so hard that I was like, you're going to have no footage.
Yeah.
So there are some bits where the camera is shaking, and I'm pretty sure it's Rob's camera because he was laughing so
hard.
You
have to leave it in, though.
Yeah. It's a very fun show. Children love it, which is strange. I think it's because I look like a cartoon.
Should we talk about The Good Place?
Yeah. Why not?
I mean, why not? When last we left our heroes, we were in the good place, the actual forking good place, a mail depot of it anyway. This is the first we've been here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's news.
Yeah. I feel like at some point there was like a door that led to it, but that's as close as we've been. So, yeah.
This is a really interesting episode, too, because it's a bottle episode, which this show hasn't really done. This all happens within four walls, right?
Yeah.
Where was this? Was this on a soundstage? Where'd you shoot?
This was an actual, yeah.
Do you remember?
Ooh.
Altadena.
Yes. Yeah. In a big old house where the owners were there, and I talked to them for a little bit.
Oh, how they doing?
They were very nice.
Did you spend the holidays?
I spent Thanksgiving with them. They had a big old turkey, and we said gobble, gobble, right before we ate it. No, they were just really nice people.
That's so funny.
I like meeting owners of locations.
I do too.
Because I'm like, what, why? Why are you letting us in here?
Right.
Into your home. But I think it was like their father's home, and it was just in the family, and it was a way to pay the mortgage or whatever.
Yeah. Wasn't it like the Rand McNally house or something? Am I making that up? Making that up. Did I dream that? I dreamt it. Never mind.
It's a great factoid, real or not.
Yeah.
But a big, it seems like a big wood-paneled kind of mansion-y joint.
Oh, yeah. Nothing had been updated. Yeah. And in fact, like, different rooms had different themes. Uh-huh. Like where the...
I beg your pardon.
Where the council eventually comes in was deemed the Turkish room.
Oh, dear.
And you can see in the episode in the back, there's this sort of, you know, Turkish, you know, tapestries and other sort of paraphernalia, but for some reason they had that all ready to go, so we said, we'll just leave it.
That's so funny.
Yeah, we don't need to do anything here.
The art department was like, cool, cool, cool.
Yeah.
Love it.
Great.
Tahani finds it a bit carpeted. Did you have to, she can't believe it's the good place because it all seems carpeted. Was that real?
I was trying to look back. I believe that we did not add the carpeting there.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's the perfect location.
And it was like good place green carpeting too, right?
So. It was a pea greenish, a bright green. I also love that Jason's unsure that they're in the good place because he doesn't see any go-karts, much less go-karts driven by monkeys wearing sunglasses and Hawaiian shirts. Just another window into like his totally broken brain.
Mario Kart is his good place.
Is that what it is? I mean, I suppose.
I mean, yeah, kind of, yeah.
Well, you and I were talking before we started. This episode is interesting because I feel like the nature of it's broader somehow. The comedy is a little bit broader than other things that we've done on this show. And the first thing that pointed that out to me was that there are a couple of great what don'ts in this episode where somebody's like, what? And they're like, don't ask about that. You have one that you do to yourself later that I'll mention in a minute. But Ted has one up top. And I wonder, do you think that the broadness of the tone is owing to the location, the absurdity of the Good Place Council and that sort of thing? Or is it a Ken Whittingham thing? I wonder what it is.
I mean, Ken definitely sort of gave us some options and some ideas to sort of lean into some of the broadness. But I think the fact that it is very much, it is a bottle episode. Mm-hmm. And we are in a completely different fantastical realm that we haven't seen yet. So I feel like there's a lot of value in playing against how static the location is, mm-hmm. you know, and just sort of leaning into the wackiness of the show, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit more. But I think that, yeah, like when you get to the council and, you know, it's like, I feel like as broad as all of us are together, it's like seeing people in the good place being relentlessly positive and accommodating.
Right.
That's just a great device that you just don't really get to see much of.
I love the contrast too, because I feel like we thought we had seen that in Michael's fake neighborhood, right, where people were like, hi, we're your neighbors, and Froyo, and everything is great. And it's like, oh, this is that times 10. Like, yeah. The actual good place.
Just Denison. Ratcheted right. All the way up to...
We learned that the good place smells like whatever makes you happiest. Eleanor smells Typhoon Falls, a water park. Chidi smells warm pretzels or absolute moral truth. Jason, it's Blake Bortles holding the Super Bowl MVP trophy. And for Tahani, it's a curtain closing between first class and economy. I think one of the big first, not slapstick moments, but definitely broader, was you know, Michael asked Janet to seal off the mailbox portal, and she blows the
fork.
And then the gag is, what's the other thing? Keep a low profile. And which I think is broad enough, but then a framed picture on the wall falls in a timed fashion, and it's like, this is a cartoon. Like,
yeah.
This is Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think especially after the Janet's episode, it's like, you can't just have a door closed now. A lock is no longer sufficient.
Maybe
she
so.
Has to blow it the F
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I do also love a little bit of need-noggling. I was on the phone with my sister in Buffalo.
Need-noggling? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. What's that word?
Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
So David Need-noggle is the visual effects supervisor for this show. He's the responsible for making Janet's void and mm-hmm. having Darcy act against Darcy, act against Darcy, and all that stuff. But he does from the giantest things to the tiniest things, but... we've come to use need-noggle as a verb. My sister in Buffalo, New York, used it as a verb the other day. It's whenever anything is magicked in with visual effects. So when Darcy goes from purple Janet to mm-hmm. tan Janet to neutral Janet, like, it's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
I also noticed there was like even a subtle thing of Tahani like looking her up and down when that happened.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, and it's like a background thing, but it's those little details that...
It really brings it home.
Yeah.
There are some great sort of inside things in this episode, too. Chidi says, like, why would we lie to these people? These guys, we're the good guys. These are the good guys. Let's just come clean and request asylum. And out of the mouths of babes, Jason says, yeah, man, we're refugees. What kind of messed up place would turn away refugees? That's not the only allusion in this episode to what I feel might be a reference to our current political times.
Yeah, definitely is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, it definitely is.
And that was current last July. And it's still current.
Which is bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think that joke actually was in another episode.
That's
it was in
true.
Another script.
Like season two,
oh,
maybe.
Really?
Season
two.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
That
you're
joke
right.
was in one. I can't remember which one it was. And then it got taken out.
It got yeah. candy bagged.
And,
yeah. They were like, that's good. We'll use it elsewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, lo and behold, here we are.
And I think even at the table read, some people stood up and applauded that joke after it was read.
Yeah. Cast? Who do you mean?
Really? Yeah. Cast.
I think both times. It was, you know.
It's real crap, like,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, we learned that the good place, in the good place, everyone follows the rules. So that's why Michael's not sure that that anybody will help them. So they have to be cool in front of the good place people. There's a great misdirect, which happens a few times with the Gwendolyn character, which is like we hear sort of about as stern as we hear what the heck is going on in there. And then enter Gwendolyn.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole, what were you told? What did you know? What was the breakdown? Did you audition? Was it an offer?
I did not audition.
I like it.
It was a straight offer, baby!
We know what we want.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I know a couple of the writers, and it was very nice to be offered.
Yeah.
I hate auditioning. I was told she's the happiest person in the world.
Yeah.
And when I was reading it, I was like, okay, so she doesn't really interact with people at all. She's alone. She's also in the good place, so she's happy. So she would be kind of naive if someone's trying to deceive her. So I tried to bring like an innocence, but a happiness to her.
Sure.
And I think it comes across.
Oh, you destroy it. It's so good. Are you kidding?
Thank you.
And I think it's the pauses that sell it, because there's a moment, like several times in this episode, where it's like, she's about to call bullshit on this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, great. You know, like,
yeah.
And it's just that hanging, that dangling, I think of like, wait a second. Love it.
You know?
This is another thing. This is one of the first opportunities, though, that I mean about sort of a Three Stooges element of this. So they go, you're like, what happened to the mailbox? And they're like, Eleanor's like, we were being chased by demons and it blew up. And then Jason's like, and there was a Dracula. I think Drac blew it up with his bazooka. And then you guys are all directed to like, you're on looking at Jason and then it's like, did she buy
mm-hmm.
it? And four or five heads all at once turn. And it's so ridiculous. Like, and it so works somehow. I don't understand how it works, because it should be stupid.
Well, it's a terrible lie, because he says, a Dracula.
Yeah.
Not even Dracula.
Not Dracula. Yeah.
And a Dracula blew it up with his bazooka.
Right.
Also, every time I see Nicole's I Believe It. I mean, that just kills me.
If I believe it, watch this.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Gwendolyn is such a fun part. She's so fun.
You know what? I just realized this contrast. I hadn't even made this connection. I think you're in a mail depot because it is probably a story fix of, like, the tubes and sending things, and that was the transportation device. But there's an even funnier and weirder contrast of, like, a happy mail employee. Postal has become a verb, and it's not great.
Right.
But to find, like, somebody shuffling mail and, you know, an endless pile of correspondence being like, love it. There's another lie that happens here. Michael keeps trying. Gwendolyn's like, what are you doing here? And Michael said moments earlier that they won a contest isn't good enough. I will change it. He has not had time to change it. So he says they won a contest. And you do another whole cast slow burn head turn. It's crazy. I don't understand why it works. Like, it's just this side of slide whistle. Like, it's just like, it's just this side going, boo. And I don't know why it works. Gwendolyn Lynn gives a little bit of a tour. She walks them in sort of into the foyer. Here's a thing over here. Also, here's a thing. This is a door to the good place. Like, that's obviously a big grappling hook to something that you guys would be concerned about. But it won't open for humans, right?
It's correct. The only entrance is north, south, north, 500 trillion miles. I don't remember
that's
the lines.
Exactly it.
Ooh, yeah. Wow.
500 trillion miles.
Wow. North. Yeah. It was hard on the day, but I got it now.
I think that Michael offers to go and help clean up his stuff. Eleanor and Chidi hang back because Eleanor wants to get through this door. Knowing now that you were shooting in a practical location, was the door yours? Did you build the door? What was the lamp made out of? Like, you can't just go throwing lamps at people's doors in old Altadena mansions, can you?
No. I believe the door was... I don't think we added the door. I think we tested it, maybe, and it was fortified enough. Our special effects coordinator, Virgil Sanchez, has incredible breakaways and works with our props team to build these things that will not harm. If they're breaking over an actor's head, they won't harm them. And I'm not sure what it's made of. I think like a sugar type of
sugar
substance.
Glass.
Yeah, sugar.
Really?
Glass.
It was very fun to watch you duck that lamp. I was gonna... like just in real time because I was like, this could be bad.
Yeah, we all felt that way.
So that was Kristen throwing every time, right?
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't a double.
No.
And
no.
You were directly in the line of fire. They didn't shoot that as a plate, right? Like that, you were there.
No, man, I was
you
there.
You were hittable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, very hittable. You know, sometimes you just got to breathe with your scene partner and just hope for the best.
It's a dynamic scene. Like, it's kinetic. She's moving past you. She's grabbing a lamp. Is she left-handed? She throws it left-handed. I don't know if she's left-handed or not.
I don't know. I mean, all I saw was lamp. So, I mean, like, maybe she is. But I just had to duck.
But a bunch of times, conceivably, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, I feel like...
I think there was three.
Yeah,
because
like
I was
lamps.
Invested. I was like, ooh, this is fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just knew one of them I was going to catch it with my lip. You know, like, I just knew that was just going to be the day. Actually, an interesting side note, though. That door, the first time Eleanor tried it on the day that we were shooting... totally open. And we were just like, oh, snap, it just took off. And obviously, you know.
And the show comes
show.
To, the com- shows comes to a close forever.
Yeah, just fork. Everybody, right. We're going to heaven. Y'all figure it out.
That's amazing. The next thing that happens is one of my favorite things, too, which is it's another Gwendolyn misdirect, which you go like, is everything all right in there? And Eleanor very sheepishly says yes, and you go, great, no follow-up question. <Yeah. laughs> Which destroyed at the table, too, because it was like, that's a really high-context indicator of who these people are. Like, great, mm-hmm. That's all I'm... Yeah. No suspicion.
Just checking.
Yeah. I do love the notion of four Oreos, too. You know, Eleanor's like, we're between what we desire and a door is the only thing. What's that, 2 inches? That's 4 Oreos. We're 4 Oreos from heaven.
I think that was the original name of this episode.
4 Oreos?
Yeah.
Are you being serious?
Like early on. Yeah. Really? Like early drafts, it was called 4 Oreos.
That's, and then yeah. Nabisco, conceivably?
or, you know, maybe it wasn't as integral to the plot sure. as the Book of Dougs.
Yeah.
So I think they end up like, yeah. I don't know what the official reason was.
That's interesting. I've never thought about that before. The title of an episode can change from its conception?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, even after we shoot and like before it airs while Mike's editing in post, he might change the name of the episode.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. So I think it just depending on how the episode shapes up, what ends up being the focus of the story and how it's going to, and then what subsequent episodes end up being focused, yeah, he might change it.
Interesting. Well, I have a specific question about one of the sort of wait what's or what don'ts. You encourage Eleanor to take a deep breath. She does. It's calming because the smell of the barf from the wave pool is calming. And you offer two. You offer how and then why. Was that an alt? Was that in the script?
I don't know. We were just, yeah, we were just, that's how it was. That's how it was written.
That's
was
so
how
funny.
And why. And I think it was... I feel like Kim was just like, what if you were just very, very concerned
yeah.
and curious in the most caring possible way? And it was like, yeah, let's see.
This is a person whom you've just professed love, and you know this is at the height of your relationship thus far, and you're like, okay, I super love you, but what?
Yeah.
Like, how are you this person?
Yeah.
And she has that about you as well. A little bit later on, I think.
Yeah.
Full episodes of The Good Place are available on NBC.com and the NBC app. Let's listen to a clip.
Say, Gwendolyn, I need to speak with the committee regarding an urgent matter.
Oh, sorry. You'd have to contact them directly, and that's definitely against the rules.
I see. How would I contact them, though, if it weren't against the rules?
Well, by calling them on that phone, but I can't let you use it.
Right, and even if it weren't against the rules, I don't know the number, and you wouldn't tell me.
There are no numbers. You pick it up and it connects you to whomever you want, but you can't use it.
Of course not. Just as a hypothetical, mm-hmm. Is there any way that you would know if I did use the phone? Any kind of alarm?
Golly, no.
So it's entirely untraceable.
Sure is. What a fun thought experiment.
You said it, Gwendolyn.
Uh-huh.
Oh, sorry. Is that a dog barking in another room?
I doubt it, because I don't have a dog, but out of politeness and an abundance of caution, I'll go check. Hello, doggy.
My name is Michael. I'm an accountant. I need to speak with the committee immediately on the top floor of the Correspondence Center. Thank you.
How terrible is Ted? I mean...
What a sexy bad man.
had you ever met him before?
I had not.
Yeah.
It was a real treat. Also, he's the nicest person.
Isn't it strange?
It's wild.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a legend. He's a
forking
legend in front of you and yeah. talks to you like you're a normal person who deserves to be spoken to.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. We've said this many times on this show, like, not that he has a right to be a monster, but
no,
he's
does.
Got some right to be a monster.
He does.
Yeah. Yeah.
He
yeah.
absolutely does. Like, if he was like, I hate you, get out, I would say, oh, okay, and I wouldn't be mad.
What other stars have spat on you?
Rosie O'Donnell, Oprah. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's stunning to everybody that's ever come into his presence to be like, how is he this nice?
He's great, and he's so much fun to play with.
He is fun to play with, right? Like, he gives you something different each time,
mm-hmm.
and, I mean, he's consistent, but, like, he's in it.
Yes. It's, like, just little subtle things. It's like a masterclass in acting where you're like, oh, you can do the same thing just with, like, a little bit more nuance or a little bit more of what you were going for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's great. Everyone's great. You are great!
Do you find yourself adjusting? So, like, if you're seeing Ted do that, in takes, do then you start saying like, oh, well, maybe I can in my next take? Or is it sort of more?
Sometimes, like, I have things planned, but if with anybody, if they give me something slightly different the second time, I will react to what they've given me. So mm-hmm. it in like, I don't know, acting is listening and reacting, you guys.
Wait, what?
So,
no,
yes.
it's
memorization.
No, it's totally not that.
And it's hitting a mark so a camera op doesn't yell at you. But yeah, I try to react to whatever the new thing that was given to me while maintaining what I think the character should be doing. In that scene in particular, he like was giving me like kind of like a little winky wink. So I was like, ooh. Oh, we're playing a... Oh, okay.
Right.
But I can't tell you. So it was like more like, oh, he's giving me this little wink and I'm going to wink back that he can't do it.
It's a fun wink that you match. Your character matches 90%, but there's still that naivete where you're like, what are we talking about? Anyway, probably nothing? Cool. Yeah. Jason seems thoughtful, which is concerning to Tani, which is also kind of a broad read that really works. I don't know why it works. And he's, in the last episode, Jason had opened up effectively Janet's diary and seen a basic love letter kind of thing and realizes that Janet loves him. So in an interesting turn, Jason's wife, Tahani, is counseling him about how to talk to this other girl. And he is very thankful that he can talk to girls with his wife. Janet is, you know, this is becoming a really interesting character. And to see a Janet, the best Janet, play embarrassment is weird and fun and strange. Like, I don't know. I feel like what Darcy brings to it is all the way from, like, legit confusion and concern for her basic structural integrity, and also like fart jokes, you know, like what if it comes out my butt? I mean, it's so interesting.
I mean, like, Darcy's such a smart comic. She's able to take something on the page, you know, like, you know exactly, like, A plus B equals C, and there's a way that she just gets ahead of you, you know, in every line reading. And so it's, you know, and still, like, is able to, like, sort of access, like, all these access all these emotions and different levels. It's pretty remarkable to watch. It's so much fun.
Yeah, and even like that line where she says she's afraid that the tears will come out of her butt. Like, her face is deathly serious.
Oh,
like,
what if she is?
Yeah.
There are stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I also love the moments that she spends, like, where she's Janet, but then is like, wait, I'm neutral. And she has to backtrack and cover in front of Gwendolyn. And then you see her doing a little bit like, I'm sorry, I don't know. Is it like, in the scope of this broad thing, it remains grounded and it's cool. I'm having a really fun memory, Will, of Darcy on this podcast about the Janet's episode, telling a story. I guess she was driving home from work and saw you walking on the street, and your voice was playing in her car speakers because she was trying to learn the cadence of the rest of the cast. And she told this hilarious story where she rolled down her window and you said, oh, you're going crazy.
I mean, well, like, in her car, you know, just like driving around. Yeah. And she pulled up and she was smiling. She's like, I'm listening to you, you know, like, really happy. And I was like, oh, God, she's in the weeds.
David Hume.
Let's talk about David Hume. I don't think I say it like that. I don't think I say it like that. But
it's the telephone game, right? It gets amplified over time.
Yeah, I guess I do say it like that. I mean, I did like hear the recording that we did, and then I was like,
shirt.
I did say it like that.
So the committee arrives via some very need-noggled. When I watched it, I was like, what do I call that? And I was like, a pentagonal cube. And then as I was going through it, doing notes for this podcast this morning, I was like, wait, that's not a word. Pentagonal cube's not a thing. And I looked it up. It's actually a dodecahedron, which is a platonic solid. So Plato works his way into all this stuff somehow, you guys. Huh. I'm not convinced that that's not deliberate, by the way.
Oh, Mike Schur?
Yeah.
100%.
Mike Schur had to have looked it up. I didn't even know platonic shapes were a thing, or what platonic solids were.
No idea.
Learning about it now. What is a platonic solid?
So a platonic solid is a three-dimensional object made up of regular geometric forms, meaning that each side of it is the same shape with the same angles. So not necessarily equilateral triangles, though maybe it is, would form a tetrahedron.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. I get it.
Oh, God.
Matt's pretending to get it because he does not care.
I get it.
Okay. sometimes acting is not at all glamorous, and I can just imagine this being one of those moments where you have to put the whole committee into a straight huddle, because I've been this before when I had to zip myself up into the cocoon in season one. You'll be doing what you're doing, and then Neednoggle or somebody will come over and be like, hi, if you could just get as tight as you could. So at the beginning of that scene, for probably 30 seconds, while they roll sound, roll camera, slate, and all that stuff, I'm sure those people are all huddled into about as tiny of a ball can be. And then when action's called, they're like, they step up and they're like, oh, this is nice. This is great. But like before that, it's weird, right?
Yeah.
It's people waiting in the wings on screen, like on camera.
Right.
Yeah.
That's like when people leave scenes. I'm like, did they have to duck out and then like tuck and roll under a table?
Under a table or like past a C-stand or under a light rig or something.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff happens all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see this dodecahedron, and we also see the Good Place logo, which is a reverse of this Bad Place senior staff pin with a thumbs down. We see it as a thumbs up, which is now I need all new gear.
I've already received requests for items. I guess I don't know if I can say, but there will be items available to fans for purchase coming up soon.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I love the casting of this show because I love that when you get a group, you know, kind of a glam on scene, something like The Committee, you got people like Paul Scheer, who we know and love from Everything Forever, and then really great stalwart players like Dana Powell and Phil Augusta Jackson, who, by the way, also, he, I think, is in his third or fourth season writing for Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
And it's just a good dude. And as an actor that kind of came up through that same opportunity. Like I, on Parks and Rec, was, you know, given some, a couple of small things to do amongst great people. And then they called again and then it kept going kind of thing. Like, I just appreciate that they find like really great actors and comedy people and use them in ways that they, you know, are really effective. It's a nice system, and those opportunities often blossom into more and bigger things. The committee's a mess. Like, they're they are painfully polite. In fact, this is another thing. Like, I think Scheer comes in saying, "It is one of the great honors of my eternal life to be here with you on this momentous occasion." And I was like, is that Mike Pence?
Yeah.
Like, was that line written for Mike Pence? Like, it seems so obsequious. Like, it seems so fawning and gross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
These people are in charge of stuff?
I love it.
I mean, it's crazy.
I love how positive they are. The run of compliments that Phil does.
Yeah, that Kellen.
Oh, my God. That is so funny. But also, just like Phil. Phil's a dear friend who is just really positive. So I was like, you're not even acting. You're literally just saying
words.
He's a
nice guy, right?
He's so nice.
Yeah, that's confusing to me. I don't understand that.
Again, no reason.
Yeah.
No reason.
He should be a monster.
Yeah. But also, like, there's a weird detachment as he's saying it, too.
Yes.
Like, almost like it's really funny. Like, these people are just as oblivious to how humans behave, how anyone should behave or operate.
I do love that Phil, as Kellen, seems to get put upon a little bit. Like, they're tough on him about Pluots being in. Then just get Pluots, Kellen. Like, yeah. Come on. Like, what are we doing? This is serious. Despite her anxiety sweats, Chidi proposes that they go on a date, and they have a makeshift date, and it's lovely. We also learn that one of the Good Place committee says that every Bad Place employee is a disgusting monster. And just in, like, this is Ted Danson's sweet spot. I mean, he's good at so much. For him to go like, oh, I don't know. I think some of them are probably cool, handsome, man about town types. Like, he's that way in real life. Like, if you were like, oh, that Mary Steenburgen's husband's a jerk, he'd be like, oh, I don't know. I think probably somebody, you know. It just feels like it's him. Jason has another delicious line of Gwendolyn asks how they met,
mm-hmm.
and if they met during the contest. And he said, Tahani and I met in brain school, and then we got married because nothing mattered. And, like, just Manny's interpretation of that stuff, it could not be done
so funny,
more simply or funnier. Like, it's just...
Sometimes it seems like he has, like, all the truthful lines, even if he's lying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the most ridiculous sort of just flat-out truths come out of Manny's or out of Jason's mouth.
Yeah,
yeah. You know?
It's like a child's honesty, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, unfiltered. Just like,
yeah, it's like, oh, that's... Oh, God, that's... Yeah, man, that's true.
That actually is...
That's right.
That's precisely accurate.
Yeah.
Like, how could you do it? The date is very sweet. You put down a mailbag as a tablecloth, and what else? I feel like there's a flashlight, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
There's a flashlight.
Bowl of fruit.
There's some fruit. There's some champagne that was given in gratitude, for some gratitude.
For champagne, I think.
Yeah, some champagne. Yeah. You know, which, you know, gets popped. And drank with extreme prejudice, and it was a sweet day. It was also fun to like sort of have Chidi just kind of be like, this is where we're at.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be tortured right now. I'm just going to enjoy this. You know,
it's true. Chidi's uniquely in control here.
Yeah, and settled, right? Yeah, yeah. Which is, you know, that's nice. I feel like it's a nice shift in tone.
Chidi mentions his parents and going to a symposium and that you would sneak into their library and read their unabridged things, which is super dark. But it occurred to me, like, is this the first we've heard about Chidi's parents? I don't know if I know anything about Chidi's parents.
You know, no, this is the first time we've actually mentioned anything about Chidi's specific family. We know about his friends.
Well, your grandma made kitfa.
Yeah, that's right. But, like, other than that, it's like, I think Chidi's been just sort of just a ball of anxiety. They can't see anyone else around him.
he turned 18 and his parents were like, bye.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Enjoy college.
I was like, yeah, just leave.
So, Will, you, this date happens. You have, Chidi has one last surprise for Eleanor, and you arrive dressed as a mailman.
Hell yeah.
We haven't seen you in a while. You've been trotting the globe and doing many things. So we've not talked to you, my little chili baby, about the shirtlessness that occurred. The world saw it. It happened. And time stopped. And the internet opened up and embraced you fully. Talk about it. What was that like? You got a heads up early that there might be something shirtless, and you were like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I did. And I was, I'm like, I'm terrified to take my shirt off in front of anyone. I mean, like, I'm one of those dudes that, like, as a kid, I grew up, like, swimming in a Space Jam t-shirt. Like, that's what I would, that's how I rolled. And so, like, I was like, okay, well, what's worse? Like, telling people, like, yo, I really don't like taking my shirt off. I know I'm, 38 years old, but I'm afraid of this.
Yeah.
Or just like, if I look like a freak and everyone hates me, it's destroying the jokes, they'll just be like, hey man, like, don't worry about it.
Because
they'll
be real quick.
Yeah, this is like, hey, pop this on real quick. I think you'll be more comfortable. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna trust it's a room full of nice people. Mm-hmm. They will be nice to me, they will be tasteful. And then, but no one ever gave me a shirt. And so I was like, okay. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, like, it was not what I was expecting. I was just like, okay, well, at least I'm not ruining the jokes by,
You're being falsely humble. Yeah. You look great.
Yeah, you've got a nice body. You have mirrors in your home, right?
I didn't. I got worried about it.
You're in good shape anyway. You work out and do stuff.
Yeah, totally motivated by fear.
Did you double it? I mean, like,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Oh, God. Yes. Yeah, I was like, all right, well, so no more sandwiches. I just got to work out like my life depends on it. Otherwise, I'll just be a terrified mess.
What did you eat instead of sandwiches?
I ate salmon fillets. I ate roughage.
Roughage, okay.
And I drank a lot of water. I mean, it was just like a really boring time. Other than the workouts, which were just like, me crying and lifting and running and sweating,
It was no secret that you were nervous.
Oh.
About it.
Really?
Oh, really?
We could sense, yeah, like, especially in the days leading up to it. Like, once we started the episode, it was like you were closer to the top of the roller coaster.
Yeah.
And you could just you were pacing around maybe, or you were just like distracted in some way. Like, yeah.
The internet loved it.
Oh, my goodness.
How did that make you feel?
Like a champ.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I felt great.
Good. Take your shirt off now. I'm kidding.
I was just like, oh, hey, we lived. Everyone lived, it was great.
Is the rumor true that when you did your last of those shots that you were met with Kristen Bell with a hamburger?
Kristen Bell went to Five Guys Burgers and Fries and got me a hamburger, some fries, and you know how they like just put all the fries, mm-hmm.
like give the
you
the whole basket.
The whole bag is filled with fries and a shake. And I had a long drive home, so I was like, you know what? I'm not leaving this parking lot until I house this whole thing. And I did. I just like shame ate the whole thing in the parking lot like a G, and I felt great.
That's remarkable. I guess the mailman uniform pales in comparison, but were there alts for that? Were some super tight? Were some bicycle shorts basically? Or
I feel like there was talk of possibly like a particularly snug short pant. Mm. but thankfully they didn't do that.
Kristen has such a great breakdown here. She sees it and it's great and it's terrible and she loses it. And I don't know that I could accomplish what she does here with the screaming of like, I love the outfit. This sucks and I'm furious and I'm the happiest I've ever been and I blame you. Like, that's a great bit of writing, and she just kills it. Like, it's so lovely how she brings that home.
What's really, you know, it's like, what's fun to watch, especially as the character of Eleanor has started to develop, and we started to see, like, the sort of hard shell sort of crack a little bit, and, you know, how much pain is, like, buried really deep.
Yeah.
And, like, Kristen's so good at bringing that to the surface and, like, and not leaning into any kind of idea of the pain, but just, yeah, like, it's just a real thing.
Yeah.
But it's still really funny and so specific, and it's just, she's damn marvelous. I think she's just great, especially in this stuff.
The committee, as we've described, are terrible bureaucrats. They're going to form an elite investigative team. Great news. It'll take no more than 400 years to begin to select the members of the team. And I feel like this is a straight dig as well. One of the committee members says, we have rules, procedures. We're the good guys. We can't just do stuff. Those are Democrats, right? I mean, yeah. That's definitely seems like another allegory very directly to something that's happening right now. But in terms of The Good Place as an entity, like, it makes you wonder, and I guess fear, like, what else is this committee in charge of? Like, this is a really pressing issue, and they're completely useless. Like, I wonder what else they have jurisdiction over. And I would guess there are long talks in the writer's room about that sort of thing. I mean, I would guess that they wonder about these things aloud forever.
Yep. I can't. Yeah.
Can't or won't.
Both. There was a lot of talk about, like, Vermont in, like,
the vests.
The vests and the, like, the corduroy pants kind of thing. And, like, I think just this image of maybe, like, a more elite, maybe out of touch, but good-intentioned sort of class of folk that they were skewering with the council.
I stand by my Democrats.
I like it. Yeah. It's like liberals in a bubble.
Right. I mean, we're in danger, I think. Yeah. Not of extinction, of being that. So Michael and Tahani are talking. The committee are a bunch of, he calls them a bunch of ineffectual dorks in fleece vests. And he says the Titanic is sinking and that they're writing a strongly worded letter to the iceberg. And Tahani, interestingly, here, sort of talking about something else, talking about, trying to do the right thing with regard to Janet and Jason, introduces the concept of unintended consequences, and that, all this stuff that we do, even if it's done with an open heart and a right mind and as well-intentioned, like, it can have terrible things. And this drives Michael to open the Book of Dougs and consider, you know, all the things. Giving flowers was worth 145 points or something years ago. Now, because of all that's going on, the flowers were ordered on a cell phone, which was made in a sweatshop. The flowers were grown using pesticides. He realizes that it's not Sean, it's not Trevor, it's not, you know, the accounting department's problem. Like, the system is working, but our lives have gotten harder. This has sort of made the big question even more difficult, right? Like, we don't have a veil of ignorance. There was sort of a blissful ignorance prior. Now we have the information and we still make crummy choices. Now what, you guys? And now a word from a totally real sponsor.
The Museum of Human Misery. Looking for a fun activity for the whole demon family? Come check out the Museum of Human Misery. Now with our new wing, the Hall of Low-Grade Crappiness, featuring exhibits such as Lim Chi Hao, the first person to text almost there when she had still not left home. Faisal Shaloub, the first person to say, you look tired. Anuzak Kalo, most bumper stickers about their child on a single car. Mariam Zaria, first person to steal someone's whole look. Rachel Helwig Zerenneman, most time spent talking about how busy you are. Terrence Sirius, the first racist to say, I'm not racist, but... And Katie Cruikshank, the first woman to say, I don't have a lot of female friends. I guess I'm more of a guy's girl. And also, there's a gift shop. People, they're the worst.
So we see a bit of a different Tahani in this episode. She's actually trying to help others. She's, you know, I suppose she does, you know, mention first class and that sort of thing, which is in keeping with who she is. But interestingly here, she's trying to be the Cyrano, the matchmaker, and she doesn't have an agenda. She's just trying to encourage Jason to be honest. And it's something that we haven't seen from Tahani really until this point.
Yeah.
She's softened somehow.
I think after the reconciliation with her sister, I think that was such a huge hurdle for her that maybe that opened her up to be a little more selfless and, you know, trying to put some good back out into the world.
It's true. It's her hug and tears with Camilla, I think in Budapest, right? Wasn't that in the museum in Budapest?
Yeah. So
I'm not sure what's real anymore. but you're right. We see her crying. We see Janet crying. And then, of course, Jason comes in crying in this one as well.
Yeah.
She creates a Death Did Us Part certificate, which ends her marriage to Jason. That's not of help to Janet, right?
Like, no.
That doesn't fix anything, really.
I really like that scene so much because at the beginning, like, as a viewer, I think that'll work. Like, yeah, right. This is going to be a lovely little scene. And it just falls apart and everyone throws it back.
And then she cancels it. And so Jason's like, oh, that's fun. Like, it's a fun reminder that I'm dead. And it's Darcy doing a great thing, too, of like, so I both feel on the spot and pitied. So that's fun. like, she's so good at that. But Jamila is wonderful at that thing, too, where she tries something, it fails, and they're like, did you mean this? And she's like, no. Like, that move that she makes is patentable. Like, that's a neat thing that she, that deer in the headlights kind of thing. Janet says nice things and begins crying, and then Tahani cries. And then Gwendolyn, first of all, I guess, catches a neutral Janet and two humans crying, which seems suspicious. And you've never been suspicious before, but this might be the time.
This might be.
Yeah. it's a really fun thing for you to go like, I've never been suspicious before, but that may change right now. And then, of course, Eleanor and Chidi come in announcing that they just had sex in a closet. How was that, by the way?
That was great.
Mail delivery?
And then Michael comes in, and the game is called. Like, Gwendolyn, is it Gwendolyn that says she's going to call the judge, and Michael says he already
Don't
has?
Don't bother, yeah.
Yeah. We get to see Michael O'Malley again.
Oh, so funny.
The doorman comes in, and of course he smells frogs. It's the only thing that he cares about. And here's another great, like, what don't kind of moment. The doorman says that the judge has agreed to meet you at the IHOP, and Jason's like, IHOP tight. And to hear 10 times to go, no, not tight. It's just, I don't know. I will never get sick of that. I will never get sick of that. Chidi asks if he can change out of his male uniform. He cannot.
Nope.
There's no time. And you disappear through the portal, left only with an aggressive wave from Gwendolyn, like a cheery wave. I would guess they left you hanging. Did they? Did they let you just like go for
we did
longer than comfortable?
Things. I don't feel like they left me hanging. I feel like maybe the first time cut was called pretty early.
Okay.
And I kept waving.
Sure.
So maybe that's why they were just like, oh, she likes to wave.
I think the camera operators on the show, too, know that, like, there might be some buttony bits and not to, like, the second cut's called, I don't feel like they're pushing buttons and moving the lens, right?
No.
I think they're waiting for it.
It's a slow move to the power button. To like the
Because some magic happens in those moments, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty great. Who knows what happens next? I can't wait for the audience to see it. Matt Quezada, what's good?
The new Congress.
I like it.
Getting political, that's it.
We've been political earlier. Nicole Byer, what's good?
What's good? It's a new year, baby, 2019. Leave all that bad stuff in 2018. I think, you know, when people are like, new year, new me, I'm going to improve me. It's like, maybe don't improve just you. Try to improve putting nice stuff out into the world. I'm trying really hard to be positive because I guess in this industry, it's very easy to slip into like, why not me for that? And it's like, well, it wasn't you. It's okay. Don't worry. Everyone could flourish. So I'm trying to be positive, and I think everyone else should be positive, and that's what's good.
I love it. William Jackson Harper, what's good?
There is a fund in New York called the North Star Fund, which gives money to sort of grassroots progressive causes. And it's rather than existing as a charity to just sort of promote itself and a specific mission, they try their best to fund people who are sort of trying to change things or move towards a more equitable society. They're looking to, like, just provide aid to those people, like, that are on the ground actually dealing with the issue. And I think that's a really interesting way to run things.
The North Star Fund.
North Star Fund.
Thank you for being with us, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been The Good Place, the podcast. I'm Mark Evan Jackson. Thank you for listening. You're four Oreos away from what you want. Go get it. Go do something good. Guys, we should do a podcast.
Janet, what have we learned today?
A good place was the place inside of us all along that was good.
Oh, Janet, have you been sneaking magnets again?
You've been sneaking magnets.
Oh, this podcast is available on Apple Podcasts and all major podcasting platforms, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hosted by Mark Evan Jackson.
Produced by Grant Rutter.
Written by Lizzie Pace.
That was Lizzie Pace. Mm. Music composed by David Schwartz.
Edited by Trey Booty. Booty? Booty.
Oh, Janet.